Hello, it's Tracy Lee. We're up to number 6 on Air Coach Podcast with Nails Mahoney and myself. Let's do this. Is Facebook making us stupid? Is the live presenter becoming extinct? And a radio station that puts you to sleep? Had a good weekend? What did you get up to? We went surfing. Everybody's gone
surfing USA. This is Han Solo, and I'm going to be keeping you company for the next few hours right here on The Midnight Shift.
Alan's funny stories. Just time for one quick funny story before the news. On line 4, we have Roy from Bungay. Hello, Roy.
Hello.
Funny story, what is it?
I sold this Makita cordless power drill in the local paper, and then 6 months later, I received the very same one back as a Christmas present from my brother-in-law, minus the power pack.
I see. So you the present you gave away, you then got back?
Yeah, that's it. Goodbye.
What a funny story.
Alan's funny stories.
My greetings, radio listeners. Shaggy and Scooby broadcasting live from the top of the world, spinning stacks of wax for all you frostbitten fans out there, right, Scoob? Hey, Scoob, you want to hear my radio voice?
Yeah.
Like, put down your snow shovel and pick up that thin air guitar. It's time to stay in and rock out.
So it's Friday night, and we're sitting in, we're scanning the dial on the radio. There's nothing on telly. You know the way sometimes there's nothing ever on the telly. Actually, there's never anything on the telly, is there? So we thought, why don't we just do what we do, and let's stick the radio on and have a listen to some jolly good live radio programming for Friday night. That was the intention, right?
That was the intention. So we started scanning around the dial, and we went worldwide. We were going through Australia, UK, Ireland, Canada, everywhere. And we were finding that we couldn't find many live radio shows. Less and less live radio shows and more voice tracked and
oh, there was one in particular,
driven.
Right? There was one, it was a themed show. They went into an ad break without any jock, and we kind of go, okay. And then they went out of the ad break into a song, into a song, into a song. There was nothing. And then there was a voice tracked series of three links back to back, back to back, back to back. Do you remember that?
Oh, that show, yeah.
Three links together. Mm-hmm. And it was like, kind of, what's going on here? And it was obvious it was voice tracked, and it just sounded like we knew the guy was in the car driving home or to his gig or whatever he was doing. And it was just, it was almost disappointing, wasn't it?
Sounded quite fake.
Except there was another guy that you used to work with.
That's right.
You know what I'm going to do? Tracy said, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tune into, what was the chap's name?
Jimmy Ryan on a show, Friday night, 80s, on Southeast Radio in the southeast of Ireland, Wexford.
First thing I noticed was, oh my God, literally haven't heard that song in years. Love that. And it was one of these shows where it wasn't playing the Tina Turners and the Climby Fishers of the 80s and Brian Adams. You kind of go, oh yeah, 80s, great. This was a real off-the-cuff kind of, oh, this is real proper stuff that you want to hear on an 80s show. And then he came in, he was live and he was local.
But you know what? What grabbed me about his presentation was that he's conversational. He's actually really into the music that he's just about to play or he's just played, and you can hear it and feel it in his voice.
So it got us thinking about live presenters versus voice track presenters versus no presenters at all, because you hear a lot of that, we hear a lot of that. One of our favourite stations, see, this is where we contradict ourselves. We're always talking about, well, it has to be live or at least a human being there. But one of our favourite stations we turn on by default is Jack FM in Oxford. Paul Easton is a great programming head there. The whole gang in Oxford are wonderful.
Doing a great job, yeah.
Yeah, but it's contradictory
but it's
to everything
not live.
We say. That's what we say.
There's only one live show there. That's the breakfast show.
Yeah, Trevor's on the breakfast show, right? And he's live. And the rest, if you know the Jack format in the UK, is it's liners and it's splitters and it's just marketing. But it works.
Exactly. And if you don't know Jack FM, we've done a podcast. I think it was number 2 we did. And there's a good bit about Jack in that.
Oh, you did a huge thing on Jack.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we're always talking about Jack. But the point for us was, it is us contradicting ourselves, because we're saying we love when a live jock is there, but Jack go out of the way to tell you there's nobody here. They literally say, there's nobody here.
But you know what it is?
Yeah.
that grabs you in and makes you listen. What? It's the preparation that they do. And it's Mr. Jack himself.
Mr. Jack himself.
It's the guy who does the voiceovers.
Yeah, you think he is Jack. That's
right. It's like he's just there and he's talking and he's saying that live because he does it so well. It's the way it's presented.
So we say live radio brings personality. Yeah, that's what it brings. Yeah. But the Jack, you say Mr. Jack who's recorded, he also brings personality though, doesn't he?
He does.
So why do we need live if personality is what we're after? Like I say, we literally turn Jack on for a laugh and to enjoy the music.
There's an example, okay, you gave me a few months ago, and we talked about this before. You said there was a disaster once. Was it an earthquake?
Anyway.
And what happened?
Oh, the fact that there was nobody on air.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I get that one. So, but that's not personality. That's... Okay, all right, let's think about that one, right? So if you're a music station...
Exactly.
If you're a hot AC and you're banging out hot AC hits all day long, is it your job to be the person that breaks news? Or is that... Or breaks wind, for that matter. Or is that the job of the news and full service stations? Should you be responsible for breaking news if you're a music station?
Or any just live updates on anything. There could be flooding in the area or anything like that. And people want to know how they're going to get to work on time or where traffic jams are.
But there's more than one radio station in most of these markets, so they'll find out eventually.
But what's happening is I'm turning on drive time shows and there's no updates anymore on traffic.
Okay.
You know, that's important stuff still. Weather.
Well, sure, day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, local radio is essential for that as well. I think local radio still is doing brilliantly with figures still, and rightly so. I mean, I believe that the live presentation is it.
Okay.
But you don't.
No, it's not that I don't. I'm just wondering why it isn't. I mean, you look at Hits Radio UK, which is just launching this week. And they're going to be, you know, they're on different markets. It's the same brand all around the country again in the UK. Same as Heart, same as Magic. They're all, you know, they're all just conglomerating and putting a load of radio stations in one studio. So the voice tracking. I'm just wondering why this is happening. Oh, obviously costs. Costs is huge. Costs are massive. Costs are blah 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 blah. The bean counters will always tell us, oh, it costs too much money to do this.
I asked a 16-year-old there recently. I said, what would you prefer? A live radio show? A pre-recorded voice tracked? Or just music show? And we've actually done a survey on this, which Laura from On Air Coach is actually doing at the moment. So we'll give you the full results of this. But one of the 16-year-olds who answered this said, I would prefer a live radio show. Why would you prefer a live radio show? I said, because I know there's somebody there. And there's somebody, human interaction.
Interaction was the word she gave us, yeah.
Human interaction.
Yeah.
So if I wanted my music, I'd put on my iTunes or my Spotify to listen to that. But and I don't want to hear a voice track show because I know it's already been done. And it doesn't sound right. It sounds fake, she said.
What if it's voice tracked really well? I know one guy who voice tracks and you wouldn't know. Yeah. You just would not know. He is so good at voice tracking. You really would not have a clue.
Okay. Jack is the example as well.
No, this is a guy that does his show. Okay, he'll pre-rec the last hour, he'll pre-rec a few links or whatever, just to get them right. And you literally can't tell the difference.
You really have to do it right, because if you timestamp it, or you put some information in there that's not relevant to that moment that someone's listening.
Oh, yeah, I get that, yeah.
The listener's intelligent. They know. They
we always say, compared to the listener, we know nothing about radio. They know everything. So
that goes down to all the whole senses are heightened while they're listening, and brain cells are more active and that kind of thing.
Brain cells are more active
when they're listening.
In radio? I don't know what station you've been working
in. Listener.
For the listener. Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking, cheers, Tracy, for the compliment. As a matter of fact, I got an IQ of 141, thank you.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me.
I absolutely think Facebook makes us lonely. I think that Facebook engenders a sort of disconnection and sort of replaces what it meant to have real and authentic relationships.
Facebook is disturbing. I think it does reduce the amount of human contact and gives the illusion of connection when it's not really there.
It would be interesting to me to get all your Facebook friends together in a room, most of whom you wouldn't really have much to do with or know.
Facebook is a bit of a lonely place. It enables incredible sharing and connection, but it also makes us less likely to get the personal updates from people directly.
But a lot of college students, they spend hours and hours on Facebook every single day, not going outside, but instead being sucked into a screen and looking at what other people are doing just by status updates.
I spend too much time on Facebook, and I don't feel positive about it. I don't feel like it helps. I just feel like it's turned into something that like is a habit.
Facebook makes us perform a lot, and it makes us present various faces and masks to the rest of the world. Most people, I think, see Facebook as part of their wider lives. I don't think they see it as a substitute.
We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people.
So, is Facebook making us stupid?
Here's why I think it's making us stupid. Well, it might be making just... Maybe I'm the only stupid person on Facebook. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who looks at Facebook and gets more...
You actually come off Facebook sometimes after a newsfeed and you go, I've just spent 3 hours going along that and I get nothing out of it.
Do you know what'll happen as well? Tracy will be on Facebook, right? You'll go, oh, hang on, I've got a message here. So you'll go onto your messages and then you're on your computer for 10 or 15 minutes and you say to me, oh, look, there's this guy that did this and did that and the other guy is this. And I'm literally saying, literally I will...
He'll actually shut close the screen.
If I'm lying to you, tell me now. But I literally say, I don't care. I don't care what that person is doing. Seriously, stop talking to me. Do I not say that?
And then I get another red line coming up, another notification. And the thing about it is,
you will spend 10 or 15 minutes without realising it and then say to yourself, holy crap, I only came on here to check a message.
I was supposed to be doing this today. I have to do it tomorrow.
Okay, here's why I think Facebook makes us stupid, right? You go onto your feed. I don't know who you follow or who's on your timeline or whatever, but you'll have posts such as cheese or bacon. Which do you prefer? Press like for cheese, press share for bacon. It's like, okay, that's probably the most stupid thing I've heard today, until you scroll down again and you see something even more stupid. I'll give you another example. I'm Irish, right? We don't live in Ireland at the minute, but the weather in Ireland has been pretty good the last few weeks. Nearly every Irish person I know on Facebook has been posting pictures of their barbecue in their back garden. Look, that's great. Enjoy the good weather. Fantastic. Enjoy your hot dogs and your burgers and enjoy life. But do I need to see literally every person's back garden barbecue going on? No.
Because exactly everybody's doing the same thing.
Okay.
They're following suit.
We're all doing the same thing. So what draws... Look, I could get rid of Facebook tomorrow, right? I could just get rid of... We could all get rid of Facebook tomorrow.
We could all get rid of Facebook tomorrow, but...
And it wouldn't exist.
Why are we not? Because...
Well, we know why, but the bastards have us by the balls. That's why.
It's all that addiction.
It's basically, it's another drug. It is an addiction. Like that, you're talking about that red little notification that comes up. You know what I'm talking about. You go onto Facebook and nothing's happening. Then number one comes up beside that little round icon on the top right of the screen in red. And you go, oh, there's a notification. I wonder what that is. So you click it and you have to find out what's going on. And it's red for lots of different reasons.
Yeah,
they ain't stupid.
Red. Yes, they've done their research. These guys have really done their research. All the psychology behind the colour red.
Yeah.
The colour of power, the colour of adventure, desire.
Yeah, all that stuff.
It actually activates your metabolism.
Yeah, there's lots of chemical stuff going on inside you when you see the colour red. What do you think of stoplights? It's a red light that stops you. Because
alert, danger. Yeah,
all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you get this little red notification and you're hooked in again. Oh, I have to see. And we were talking a while back. We do that in one of our master classes when we talk about social media, about FOMO, the fear of missing out. That is huge. You're afraid you might miss out. I guarantee you, if there's 10 people listening to this podcast over the next 900 years, 5 of those people, when they wake up in the morning, first thing they do, they don't go to the toilet, they don't have a shower, they don't wash their teeth, they don't make tea. They take out their phone, probably because the alarm is on the phone, right? The alarm on their phone has woken them up. So in order to turn the alarm off, you have to pick up your phone anyway. So you pick up your phone, you turn your alarm off and you go, oh, I've got it in my hand. Might as well check my Facebook and my Gmails and my Twitters. Next thing you know, you've been spent 10 minutes in bed looking at your phone. So you've continued doing what you stopped doing the night before, because I guarantee you those 5 people also went to bed with their phone in their hand, checking crap.
But the thing is, they want to see what they've missed out on during the night.
During the night.
When everybody's seen asleep like them. And they want to see if there's something new on there as well.
What happened during the night? I put this out on our Twitter earlier on. I made a video just saying we were going to be talking about this. Matt Condell, who runs the podcast in Canada. Very good comment from Matt. He says, the way I see it, you're either a content creator or a consumer. Be the former than the latter. Be more the former than the latter. So be a content creator rather than a consumer. Yeah, that's true. My whole thinking has always been post and go when it comes to Facebook. Just post and get the hell out of there, because we know, you know, Tracy, as much as I do, once you're in, they've got
it's
you.
It's very
because
hard to get back out.
You scroll down once, I'll just do one more little scroll. Oh, I'll just do one more little scroll, and you keep going. Facebook used to be my number one go-to place. You remember that? Everything was on Facebook. Now it's my number four. It's the last place I post content, because I just got pissed off with the whole... Well, number one, the algorithm annoyed me, and the fact that it was telling me what to watch. And I know they all have algorithms.
But it's all them surveys and those, you know, click here if you want to see what you look like as a man. You know? And these meaningless quotes and stuff that they have.
I love the one you had, the Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch, 40 years. You'll never guess what they look like now. It's like, oh, Marcia will surprise you. You know, whatever. It's like, oh.
And then you get all them filtered selfies. And
so it goes back to, is it making us stupid, though?
Yes.
Is it, though? That's my question. Is it making us stupid? You've got more stuff there that you had.
Because
you've done a load of research on this, haven't you?
Actually, the thing about the tribes and the human need to belong, that whole thing about the Pavlovian...
Pavlov's dogs.
Mammals, yes.
Oh, yeah, Pavlov's dogs. If you don't know, Ivan...
You can tell
it was
a story about that.
Ivan or Ivan. I think it was Ivan Pavlov. What was he, a psychologist or something? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not an expert on who he was. But I know what he did. Pavlov's dogs. He would feed his dogs, right? And before the food came out, they'd salivate. They'd go, oh, you know, they'd be drooling like dogs do. We've dogs, you know, oh, they go mental.
As soon as they hear the bowl go straight out.
Yeah, but what he then decided to do was do a little experiment, and every time he brought the food out, he'd ring a bell. So they'd associate the bell noise with the food, right? Mm. So they'd start salivating. And then over time, he'd stop that, and he'd just ring the bell. And so when he rang the bell, the dogs would salivate. There's no food coming, but they associated the bell with the food, with salivating. So he'd ring this bell with no food anywhere in sight, and they'd react accordingly. And that's what they were trained, that when you hear this, you're going to feel this. And we're the same with Facebook. When the little icon comes up, you're going to feel this, and you're going to want to... So we're emotionally salivating at the thought of one little red icon coming up saying, you've a notification.
Well, there's actually another study done as well, the University of Maryland.
God bless you, Maryland.
They actually told everybody, no digital for 24 hours.
Okay.
The results, and these are just some of the comments of the people who took part in that experiment. They all had symptoms of withdrawal. That's the one thing they had in common.
Sure, I get
some
that.
Some of them said, I began going crazy. Another one said, paralysed, staring blankly, nothing to do.
Well, do you remember, we were out the other day and my phone died. My phone battery's knackered now. I need to get a new phone. And it was at like 64% or something. And I went to do something with it and it just shut down. And I looked at you and went, my phone's dead.
What am I going to do?
Literally, what am I going to do? I mean, like, you can get cope and you can go, all right, that's a pain in the arse and all that. But still, you do feel... How am I going to... What if I see something and I need to take a picture of it? And
That's what actually somebody said. It felt like unplugging, turning off their life support system.
Not at all dramatic. This is what I mean. How stupid a comment is that? I mean, to even say that is stupid. But here's the thing. I'll go back to the algorithm again, right? And I've been... This algorithm's been annoying me. I don't even know what it is. I want to meet the algorithm and just go...
The algorithmists.
Exactly.
The people who do the algorithm, make the algorithm.
I want to meet the algorithmists. Yeah, like the Eurythmics in the 80s.
It actually sounds like a band, doesn't it, from the 80s?
Great track from the Algorithmics there.
Like something like Kraftwerk or something.
Don't diss Kraftwerk, not on my watch. Don't go, I am the operator with my pocket calculator. But the algorithm is now showing us what it thinks it wants us to see, right?
Yes.
Based on everything we do and all the people we know and what we like, it's now telling us, oh, you'll want to see this and you'll want to see that. So what it's doing is it's showing us 1% of people's lives that it thinks we should watch. And those 1% are showing us the little part of their life that they want us to see. So none of it's real. None of it is actually happening. It's all just pretendy made up stuff. And that's what I'm saying. We're looking at the 1% of a person's life that they want us to see so that they'll look good. it's not their real life. And I just personally, again, it could be just me, I just think it's making us stupid.
No, it's like photoshopped or filtered to near
perfection.
Oh, don't even
start talking about filtered bunny rabbit ears and bloody red cheeks on adults. And here's the thing, if you're a media person and if you're in any way a presenter in any form, just remember, everything you do online reflects who you are as a person when you're on air or when you're on TV, on YouTube, whatever you do, whether it's podcasting. Everything you do, if I hear you on a podcast or on the radio and I go, oh, I want to see what this person's like, and I go onto your Facebook or Twitter and it turns out you're a completely different human being, I kind of go, okay, that doesn't really match. So again, that's another story, but be careful of how you represent yourself online.
I mean, you're saying 1% of that person's
life. I'm thinking
life.
1%, yeah.
How about these are 99%?
They don't want you to know that because that's the real stuff. And real, you know what? Real life is kind of dull. Real life is just you do your stuff and you know, and then you get on with it. It's not that exciting, but when something exciting happens, then we go mental with it. Like, is it a case of, you said this before, we've had this discussion in the past, Tracy Lee and I have had this chat about years and years ago, right? If you wanted to be famous, you had to go on TV,
That's
radio,
right, yes.
cinema, wherever. Now, though, everybody's got a phone with a camera on it and a microphone. We're all stars.
That's it. Everybody can be famous. And the Kardashians and all those guys and girls that do those reality shows, they're going, I could be one of those.
We all think we're famous. We all think we're radio stars, we're movie stars, we're YouTube stars, we're TV stars because we can point a camera at ourselves and do something. And you know what? We're not.
But the thing was, to get into radio, to get on TV, to get into cinema, you had to be very good at what you did.
We've got to be very careful that we don't cross the line into sounding like we're fuddy duddies here, don't we?
No, listen.
I understand what
Everybody's
you're saying.
Everybody's given the platform nowadays, yeah, and everybody can broadcast anything they want. We were saying that the internet just seems to be drowning into unprofessionalism.
Drowning in mediocrity is what it's drowning in. And there you go again. And we have to filter that mediocrity every time we go online.
Here's an example. We were looking for a YouTube video today,
yeah,
about how to set up internet radio.
Radionomy was the company, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right. Yeah. There was a few of them and I was trying to find the best one. And there was about 10 videos on one page of Google and every single one of them were terrible.
It was like, hey guys, terrible. Hey guys, welcome to my YouTube video. But oh, hang on, the door's bell. That might be my pizza. Hang on a sec, guys.
There was one in particular that the guy, I couldn't make out what language he was speaking. I said to Nails, is that English?
Well, it's because the microphone was so bad and everything, all that kind of stuff. Look, here's the deal. Personally, I adore social media. I mean, if I had social media when I was in my teens, I would have been the happiest person on the planet. I'm on Twitter every day, Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram. Love them. But I also know that they can make us really, really stupid. And I don't take them seriously.
That thing you say, fear of missing out, the FOMO.
Uh-huh. It is. It's fear of missing out. If I don't turn on my phone, I'm not part of the tribe because something might have happened and I may have missed it. And everybody else knows what's going on. It's the tribe mentality, yeah. And they've tapped into
but
that.
But if so many people are hooked on this and being addicted to Facebook, addiction only goes one way unless you got the willpower, unless you got the strength to control it.
Yeah. Well, you hear people online 6-7 hours a day. Can't get off Facebook.
There was an athlete guy recently summed it up. He said, the moment you notice the other person and look over your shoulder, you've lost the race.
The moment you notice the other person and look over your shoulder, you've lost the race.
So is ignorance bliss? Mm. Is competition good?
Mm. To be continued. Same bad channel, same bad time. It's a good one, though.
Good one. To be continued, indeed. Nails had to have the final word.
You know what I mean when I talk about pity posts? When people come,
you never shut up about pity posts.
Yeah. Well, again, you go online, you go, oh look, such and such is having another bad day, or oh look, there they are again telling us how bad they feel, or oh look, something unfortunate has happened to them. It's the same people with the same pity posts all the time, and they get massive responses from them. They get the, oh, are you okay? Everything all right? Do you want to call me? Hey, you know what? You're great. Oh, no, you're super. Oh, no, you're amazing. Oh, don't ever feel bad about yourself and all this
but
stuff.
But do they say that to them in real life? Would they say that to them if they were in walking down the street and seeing them, would they pick up the phone and call them and say that?
Here's the deal.
About online, look, the way you look?
Well, that's the thing. No, if I'm feeling miserable or I'm feeling sad, right, or I'm having a bad day, and we all have bad days, and we all feel that we're human beings, I'll tell you, or if you're not around, I'll phone me brother or somebody. But I'm not telling the world on Facebook that I'm having a bad day. So I'm wondering what the input or the impetus is to tell the entire planet that you're having a bad time of it. I call them pity posts. There's other terms for
confessionals.
Confessionals
as well,
is probably a nicer way to put it. I'm being a bit cruel with pity posts. I could call them pity porn. You know what it is? It's pity porn as well, because a lot of people. No, because a lot of people, the voyeurs, love the pity posts. They get a kick out of the pity posts as well.
Probably because they feel a bit of power.
Power? Yes, more than I was going to say, because they feel a bit better about themselves. But I think power might be stronger, actually.
It's a control thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they think, I'm having a better day than they are.
And again, why do we need this? And it comes back to, is it just making us stupid? Like, is it dumbing us down to basics?
Nah.
Yeah, school.
I'm
school.
Better than you.
It's this playground stuff,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, I can grasp how people like going on and having somewhere to kind of air their, you know, something to say about themselves.
I get it.
You know, to confess.
But look, we saw one the other day from a
and
guy.
And get attention. Is it the right attention?
There was a massive big referendum on recently in Ireland. And I was following it a little bit. And then the day after it, we saw a post from a guy that goes, okay, I can keep my silence no longer. I must speak out and give my views on this. And we're like, all right, mate, you're not CNN. Calm down for a second. Like, who are we that we need to... Now, world, I know you've been waiting for this. We saw another one. A guy said, I'm going off Facebook for a month. And he got a reply from a fella said, mate, I've been off Facebook for a month before and nobody gave a shit. No one noticed. And there you go. That's the beauty of the honesty of the whole thing, right?
That's the fact.
Nobody
yeah.
really cares. So putting up these posts is looking for attention, and if you don't do it, you're not going to get attention because nobody cares, because as you said, Tracy, the internet is drowning in mediocrity and unprofessionalism. I've said my piece.
But how are these people looking to other people, the people who do the misery posts? I mean, how are they feeling doing it, and how are the people looking at them feeling?
I think when you put out a misery post or a pity post, you're looking for that connection. You're looking for a connection. Yeah.
Connection.
Oh, it's an honest look. It's done honestly, and you're a human being who obviously has a need here.
I mean, sometimes you could be having a really horrible day. No one's around and you just feel like you just need to get it off your chest.
Uh-huh.
And there's Facebook looking at you saying, what's on your mind today? Yep. What's happening? And you,
damn it, I'll just go ahead and
say it. I'll just say it. And you get all these floods of, oh, are you okay? Oh, I'm here for you. Look, if you need me, just come over. Have a few drinks with me.
But then, as we well know, the next time you turn on Facebook, there'll be an ad that you look at and you go, oh, that's sort of similar to what I was talking about. Look, they're just marketing you. They're just finding out what you want to talk about so they can sell you crap. So you could say one thing. It'll pick up a keyword, and all of a sudden you've got an ad relating to that keyword. You say, oh, you know, I'm so depressed, I could just eat a big basket of chicken wings right now. And the next thing you know, the chicken wing factory down the road has got a pop-up ad on your Facebook.
Thing is, some people are coming on and they're doing those misery posts and those confessionals. They're only short-lived for...
Until they get over it.
Exactly, yeah. Because they have to keep those confessionals up yeah. all the time.
Yeah, and then they lose their audience.
It's hard work.
It's very hard work. And you become that person.
You become that person, exactly.
Yeah, and if I'm listening to you...
So you're labelled as that person.
If I'm listening to you on the radio or on a podcast or watching you on TV, I'm thinking, oh, there's that person that blah, blah, blah happened to.
I can totally understand that need for coming out and, you know, connecting with other people in similar situations. I can totally get that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think Facebook is the right place to do it.
But we could be wrong.
We could be wrong.
That'll be a first.
I think we're going to have to talk about this again.
Right.
Because we have very, very strong opinions on
next.
This. Next! Yep, you can't be everyone's cup of tea. Otherwise, you'd be a mug.
You're listening to the On Air Coach podcast with him, Nails Mahoney, and me, Tracy Lee. Sounds a bit like the two Ronnies. Remember those guys back in the day?
hop back into our DeLorean and fast forward into 2018, where there's a radio station that caters for party animals, dogs, DIY enthusiasts, and even insomniacs.
I can't get no sleep.
Hey, Insomnia, I know you're trying to be friendly, but I really need to get some sleep.
Oh, right. Okay, totally. Big, busy day tomorrow. I know. You want me to list everything you need to do?
No, that's fine.
Okay, so in the morning you have a meeting, then you've got...
I just need silence!
Hey, time to get up!
So it's this guy in New Zealand who... bit of an insomniac.
Say it right, though. New Zealand.
What?
New Zealand.
New Z-
So he's a bit of an insomniac, yeah?
I thought that was some scientific name for an insomniac. You were giving me nails. This guy, anyway, he's called John Watson. Couldn't get to sleep. And he was on one of his nights where he couldn't get to sleep, came up with this brilliant idea.
Yeah, when you either come up with ideas when you can't sleep or when you're in the bathroom. They're the two times you come up with great ideas.
Exactly,
aren't they?
4 o'clock in the morning.
Four in the morning.
I've often woken up and said, I've got a brilliant idea. I have to get up and make this.
Could you imagine if you couldn't sleep, you're walking around and you need to go to the bathroom? Jeez, the brain waves you come up with would be unbelievable. Put those two together.
Anyway, just bring the laptop into the toilet.
Bring the laptop
at 4 o'clock
into the
in the morning.
And stay awake all night. You'll be a genius.
This guy, anyway, John Watson, he came up with this idea for sleepradio.co.nz,
right,
which plays ambient music, soft, relaxing music. It's ad-free, it's vocal-free, it's just the music. And they're playing it in daycare centres, spas. Pregnant women are loving this and they're benefiting from it. Insomniacs are falling asleep every night.
So it's the station that wants you to fall asleep listening to it.
Exactly.
Right, that's good, though. I like that.
Yeah, so...
That's kind of cool.
Very good indeed.
Yeah, so... And you know what else, though? How many internet stations are there? There's more than six, right? There's quite a few. Quite a few internet stations out there. How many million are there? So to make your mark and to actually have people listening to you... It's quite good going.
Yeah, he's cleaning up. He's doing very well at the moment.
That's really difficult.
He's,
you know what I like about that, from the way you're describing it, is the fact that, what's it called? Is it called Sleep Radio?
It's called sleepradio.co.nz.
Yeah. There's no doubt what that's about.
Yeah, it says, well, it's on the tin.
It's exactly what it is. You don't go, Sleep Radio. I wonder if that's anything to do with horses. Oh, I wonder what that, you know exactly what that's about. And fair play, that's cool.
It's something I'm very passionate about anyway.
Well, you're mental about sound and hurts.
Sound and hurts, yeah.
Yeah, I know you are.
The 4-3-2.
Actually, I don't know whether you got a chance to have a look. If you go into our, do we post that one on Facebook and Twitter about you when you were in the cave the other day?
Oh, the 1 million year old cave?
There's this cave, right, near close to where we live here in our little island in the Med. And we stumbled upon it the other day when we were out walking. We shouldn't have been walking, it was too bloody hot, but then again, mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. So we were having a little look around and we came across this cave that was, it was constructed by the wind and by sound and everything, and you went into it and the acoustics, you know, when you walk into like a whisper booth or something and you click your fingers and the sound just drops to the floor. This sound just dropped to the floor, didn't it? It was like, oh my god, this is the perfect acoustic bloody room.
It was like a 1 million year old voiceover booth.
A 1 million year old voiceover booth, exactly. That's what we call the video, actually. And I tell you what we'll do, right? We'll go back there and we'll do something more detailed on it on video. Actually, we'll bring this. We'll bring our little mic with us.
Yeah, we'll do that. I mean, I've been studying this stuff, researching sound, acoustics, metaphysics, cymatics for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And eventually I am going to do an audio book.
Yeah, yeah.
An actual book as well.
A real live reading book.
Before the days of Facebook. Remember that when there were
books.
You
could do a Facebook. That's a book, isn't it? Yeah, I'm looking forward to when you
do
that.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. And over the next few weeks, you'll get a bit of a taste of what it's all about.
All right. Very interesting.
Mind-blowing stuff.
Before we go, podcast masterclass, if you'd like to pre-register for that, give us a shout on aircoach@gmail.com. We're going to take you through how to do podcasts like what this one sounds like. Everything from microphones to use. Actually, quick sidebar on that one. For the last 5 weeks, first 5 weeks of this, we were taking our podcast content from our live Facebook and YouTube streams. But we were never happy with the audio, were we? Because it wasn't great.
Actually, we have a friend of ours who's living in the south of France.
Dusty. Yeah, some of you might know Dusty Rhodes. I've known Dusty since 1932.
And he was commenting about the podcast.
Dusty's great. No, he said, hey, heard your podcast. I love it. And I hate it. I'm like, okay, I met him for coffee. Remember,
and
a few weeks
so
ago.
Truthful.
Yeah, and he said, and I'll tell you why I hate it when we meet next week. So he hooked and teased me for a week. And he said, love the content, love the energy, love everything. Hate the effing audio quality. I'm like, yeah, okay. So Dusty, this is for you, mate. We're trying this on a different microphone system. So we're going to, look, we're like everybody else. When you start something sort of new, you have to work around it. But yeah, cheers, man.
Thanks,
we're
Dusty.
Trying this on your behalf.
Yeah.
All right. So, Podcast Masterclass, we'll go through what we've learned from Dusty and lots of other people about audio and also how to construct thoughts and how to get into your listener's brain. Listen, we'll tell you all about it if you email us.
It's going to be fun.
Or Facebook us or tweet us. Yeah. I'm out of here. I'll leave it to Tracy to say goodbye to you. I've got to go to the toilet with my laptop to do some thinking.
Yeah. Probably a good idea, Nails. Or else I get withdrawal symptoms of no laptop phobia or something like that. On Air Coach Podcast number 6 with Nails Mahoney and Tracy Lee, the On Air Coaches. Find us On Air Coach on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram and Facebook. On Air Coach Podcast number 7, you're in for a treat. In the meantime, sleep well.